Welcome to the Team Us podcast. We're Ted and Ashley Slater.
As couples, we all want to win in marriage, right? And we don't mean in a who's right or who's wrong sort of way, but together as a united team.
Oneness in marriage isn't always easy, though. Sometimes it's really hard. It can be a struggle to stay connected and face the difficulties of everyday life together.
If we're not intentional, it's easy for the us, the you and me, to quickly become you versus me.
Well, this podcast is all about marriage as a team and how to live the everyday moments of your marriage together. We'll share honestly and humorously with you about the betters and the worst of our marriage. You'll hear how grace, commitment, cooperation, and lots of laughter have helped us stay united.
Plus, in every episode, you'll also get some practical tips and tools to apply to your marriage.
We want to see your Team Us win. We're cheering you on, so let's get started. Hey, everyone.
Hey there. Welcome back to the Team Us podcast.
Yes. And today we're diving into the topic of parenting and how we can better parent as a team. But before we jump in, I want to start by saying that you might be listening and you aren't a parent yet. It could be that you and your spouse aren't ready yet, and that's okay. You know, the timetable is a little different for every couple. Or it might be that you are very ready and you have been for a while, but you're struggling with infertility. I've read that 1 in 8 couples experience infertility. So if that's you, I want to start this episode by saying that you're not forgotten or unseen by us. And while we do talk about miscarriage in the book Team Us, we don't directly talk about infertility. However, in my other book, Braving Sorrow Together, one of my friends shares her and her husband's story of infertility. It's raw and it's honest, and I pray it's a reminder to you that you aren't alone. Let's talk about parenting as a team. Ted, I think we both agree that parenting has been one of our most challenging team efforts yet.
Challenging, yes.
Yeah.
It's been rich and fun and makes life full, but challenging, that's an accurate term.
Yeah, I like that. Makes it full. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, before we get into the practical stuff, though,
yes,
let's do something fun. I'm going to ask you some favorites related to parenting.
Ooh. Sounds good. Like favorite children? Yeah, my favorite child is...
No, we don't have favorite children. So, although that seems to be a theme on television shows, doesn't it?
I think it does. But, you know, I've found that as each new child comes along, my heart expands just that much more to embrace them.
Yeah.
That sounds cheesy.
Well, yeah. All right. So,
yes.
Favorite Pixar parent.
Pixar parent... Sorry, my mind went to.
No.
It went right to The Incredibles.
Uh-huh.
So he reminds me of myself, you know. He sees himself as, like, you know, all that, and he's a little out of shape. And he loses his temper sometimes and breaks tables. I've never broken a table.
No, I'm sure you've broken something else.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, no.
All right.
Godly man. I don't break things.
So Mr. Incredible, favorite Pixar parent.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a favorite dad joke? Because you like to tell dad jokes.
No,
potty humor here.
Oh, well then no, I don't. One of our girls told a joke. What was it? What did Dorothy say? It was like a 3-part joke, and it was like she got me at the end. I don't know. I don't know any good dad jokes. Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Every other moment, you know, like a good dad joke.
They just come at me like kids, I'm a dad or something.
Yeah, the kids just kind of groan. Okay.
And you.
So some other favorite parenting. Yeah, I humor you.
Yes, thank
my
you.
Laughter. Some that. Other favorite parenting moment. Do you have a favorite parenting moment?
Favorite parenting moment. It's nice when, you know, the girls, you know, are affectionate, mm-hmm. you know, when they play with my hair or cuddle up next to me on the couch when we're watching a show. Not that we watch shows. We don't watch shows very often. We just talk about it a lot.
That is not true. We watch them a lot.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, I'm proud of the girls when they do things that makes them shine and that. You know, like when they volunteer at church or when they're on stage or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good parenting moments. Mm-hmm.
Or when one of our girls writes her own devotional.
Yes, yeah. Our 9-year-old is working on her own devotional.
And it's quite good.
Yeah, she did a good job.
So, yes.
All right, well, let's jump in.
Wait, can I ask you? Do you have any, proud moments? Or do you have any, who's your favorite? Are you...
I do not
Stretch,
have...
Miss Stretch, what's her name?
Oh, Miss is incredible?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I don't know. I wasn't prepared for this question.
I know, well, boom.
I was prepared to ask you the questions and put you on the spot. Favorite Pixar parent? I might actually say that it's Marlin from Finding Nemo, because he struggles with a lot of fear, but learns how to overcome that and allow his kids to take risks. And I think that I can relate to that. I think for me,
interesting.
I've had to learn over the years how to wisely, to use wisdom and not fear in letting our kids step out and take risks, and maybe even encouraging them do that.
He had a hard time saying anemone. Can you say that to me?
Well, that was Nemo, not the dad.
Oh, okay.
No, I am not going to try to say that.
Anemone, okay. Anyway, let's continue.
All right. So for those of you listening, I mean, we've talked about our kids, but we should probably say our kids range in age from 10 to almost 17.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and over the years, sometimes, Ted, our different upbringings and different personalities have complicated rather than contributed to and enriched our parenting. And I think that probably happens with a lot of couples.
Complicated.
Right?
That's a nice way of putting it. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you were raised one way, I was raised a different way. Everybody's raised differently. And then when you get these two people together to raise a family, the parenting approach, they're going to be
those different backgrounds.
Different.
Yeah. Right. Like you were, I mean, a doctor's kid. Mm-hmm. I was a pastor's kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just we came from different backgrounds as far as what our families could afford or what opportunities we had. Mm-hmm. And personalities. I mean, I'm firstborn girl. You're last born boy, which is actually apparently a perfect combination.
Oh, it is a perfect combination. I would say yes.
But I think that makes us, I'm very much a planner, very much a...
And I'm more ad lib.
Yeah. Yes.
So I think that's a big thing. I think in some ways you're better at discipline than I am. And I'm a little like, I don't discipline maybe early enough in a situation or bring, you know, rein things in. Sometimes things get out of control.
But you also are able to enjoy the moment and be present in the moment
or much at least
more.
Tolerate it.
Or have fun with it.
Have
fun
with it.
Have
yes,
fun
absolutely.
With it.
Yeah.
So we've had to work hard not to allow our differences to divide us when it comes to parenting. So I thought we'd share three of the things we do to better parent together, because maybe they'll be helpful and encouraging to those who are listening. And we are definitely, we do not consider ourselves parenting experts at all. Not
absolutely
at all.
Not. No, we've had kids for 17 years.
Yeah.
But, and maybe we can share some things that they can learn from our mistakes and our successes.
Yeah.
Look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Okay, so the first thing we do is we try to appreciate each other's perspectives. So in the last episode, as we were talking about grief, we talked about how we have different vantage points or perspectives when we grieve. And I think that when we parent, it's also important to keep this in mind, that we're coming at it from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Like if I think back to when our kids were young, because at one point we had like a newborn to a 7-year-old or mm-hmm. something around them. We had a lot of little kids at the mm-hmm. same time. You know, I've always kind of worked from home mm-hmm. part-time, but I've always been home.
And I would go to the office, be gone for most of the day.
Yeah.
Then come back around dinner time.
Right.
Just maybe an hour or two before the kids were going to go to bed.
And so I was exhausted mm-hmm. by the time you'd get home. And I would be like, okay, bedtime is at this time.
Right.
And let's stick to that schedule. And you would often, bedtime would get extended because you play or hang out or you'd wind the kids up. And I would kind of uh-huh. get frustrated with that.
Which is understandable because you've been with them the whole day and you're kind of spent.
No. Yes. I mean, yeah. That's true. It's true. There's,
you've been giving your energy the whole day.
But I was only thinking about myself when I would be like, okay. It's time for the kids to go to bed. Let's stop. Don't wind them up. I wasn't thinking about the fact that you had a limited amount of hours with them. I wasn't thinking about your perspective, that this was the time that you had to spend with them. And so, of course, you would want a little bit longer. And so I had to really learn to, realize that mm-hmm. and be more flexible.
Right. And in retrospect, I could do the same, you know, maybe I could have more of my fun wind up time in the morning before I head to work. And then when I get back, have a little more low key activities with them to help wind them down. Maybe read to, I used to read to the kids back then.
Yeah. You'd read to them every night.
Read to them and, you know, something a little more low key.
Yeah. Well, I think that would have required you to get up earlier, too, and have some more time before you actually had to get up.
If I'm up any later than 5, half the day is wasted.
And if you've listened to more than one episode of this podcast, you know that's not true.
Absolute lie.
Okay, so that was the first one.
Appreciating each other's perspectives. Yeah. We're coming from different perspectives.
Right. I think that helped. You know, doing that and continuing to do that has helped us better parent as a team rather than as two individuals who end up getting in disagreements and getting frustrated with each other.
Absolutely.
The second one is, and I think this really ties into our personalities and how our personalities have affected our parenting, is learning from each other's approaches, from the way that the other one parents. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we talked about how I'm a firstborn girl. You're a lastborn boy.
Right.
And
there are books that talk about that. The birth order book.
Yeah.
That's not an endorsement, but I remember reading that book. And it does point out that because of your birth order and your family, it really does affect your personality. You know, I may have been a little more goofy and trying to get attention and maybe got away with more as a kid, and you had to be more responsible because you had younger sisters that you had to care for.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, when it comes to our approaches then, mm-hmm. like I'm a planner, so I think ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking ahead. And so I like to keep the kids' expectations low, meaning, you know, we'll be at a store and they'll be like, oh, look at that. It's so cool. And I'll be like, ooh, that's expensive. We're not going to be able to buy that. That's the first thing I say. Uh-huh. What's the first thing you say?
Well, I see that as a big old stop sign, and nobody likes to be smacked in the face with the stop sign. So I'm more of a, let's redirect this a little bit, affirm their excitement, but also communicate to them that, you know, purchasing it is not going to be an option. So you might say, no, it's outside of our price range. I might say, oh, let's go take a look. That's cool. Maybe someday we'll be able to afford that, or maybe we'll add it to the wish list for birthday or Christmas.
But I used to get really upset at you.
No, you did not.
So yeah, I would be like, oh, Ted, you're encouraging them. First, you should set expectations and then look at it.
I should discourage them instead. I should be a discouragement.
Well, I've realized it took me a little bit, mm-hmm. but I started to see the beauty and the joy in dreaming with the kids.
Yeah.
Rather than being a killjoy first and setting expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good to dream. It's good to encourage our kids to see possibilities. But it took me time to learn from your approach.
Right. No, yeah, I can see us doing that with, even as they're getting older, like one of our girls is thinking about going overseas to study, or living overseas at some point. And naturally I would prefer that, you know, the kids be closer to home, you know, but, you know, I'll explore that with them. You know, where would you want to go? And, you know, would you be interested in like living with roommates? You know, what would you want to study? Wouldn't it be cool to eat the food there and stuff?
Yeah. Well, and I think that I have learned over the years. So now when that does come up, I think I've been more able to say, oh, that's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at this. Like, you know, where could you find community? Could we find a church there that definitely. You could get involved with?
That's a big one.
So I've learned how to try to set expectations without being a killjoy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, we've talked about how you like to grocery shop.
And
like
take
it's
my
an
time,
experience.
Right.
Well,
there's so many wonderful, weird things in grocery stores. I mean, just the international aisle is just.
Right. Well, and you will go to the grocery store and you'll bring home like 6 different kinds of root beer.
Mm, yes, have done that.
Because you want to do a taste test with them. And it used to be, I would be like, oh, should we really be spending that much money on all these different root beer? Uh-huh. And now I'm like, okay, that's cool. Let's do it. But I've had to learn.
I figure we'll go through it all before the expiration dates.
Right. Well, and maybe that comes from you also coming from your dad was a doctor. Mm-hmm. There was probably more flexible income.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I grew up a pastor's kid, you know, hospice chaplain's kid.
Sure.
And so we didn't have quite as much. I mean, my parents have always been extremely generous.
Generous. Oh, yeah.
They're
I know that.
Very,
for
very generous.
Mm-hmm.
But we just didn't have as much flexibility with our budget as you did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had to, it's another place I've had to learn from you, and your approach, your more fun, maybe approach. I mean, my parents were very fun, but you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. When you say fun, you might mean more spontaneous as opposed to more structured or more, planned or whatnot.
Right.
But you need both.
Yeah.
You know, if everything was following my pattern, we wouldn't be doing a podcast for certain. We'd be laughing about people doing podcasts.
But see, there's this balance as we both mm-hmm. have different personalities and different upbringings, and we take the time to learn from each other's approach. We mm-hmm. balance each other out.
Absolutely.
And I think mm-hmm. that those listening can do the same, unless, you know, you both come from very similar backgrounds and have very similar personalities.
I wonder if that'd be harder.
I don't know. That's an interesting, I hadn't really thought deeply about that and how that affects parenting. I would think it would be easy if you already agree on a lot of things.
I guess. Yeah.
So,
I can see that.
All right. So the
We have a third.
We support the other as best we can.
That's a good one. I support you with that third point.
I'm glad you do. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that we support what the other, like if the other has said, well, this is how we're going to do it. We don't openly contradict each other in front of the kids. And we also try, like for me, I try to speak well of you in front of the kids, even if I might disagree or I might not understand where you're coming from. It's something that we try to do privately.
What's an example of that?
Well, maybe you tell, well, I can think of examples where the kids may ask, hey, can we play this video game? And mm-hmm. you've already told them yes. And I'm thinking, ooh.
It's not a good time.
It's not a good time or not a good idea. Mm-hmm. I will normally say to the kids, okay, well, if Papa said it's okay, then it's okay. But I might later tell you my thoughts on it, which means that next time you're more prone to talk to me first, and then we talk about the pros and cons before we give the kids a decision.
Gotcha. So later on, you might say, hey, Ted, remember when you said it was fine for the girls to go play their video games? Well, that was like 45 minutes before dance, and I really needed them to get ready for dance, get their costumes, their hair, and just preparation for that. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we know that we're going to be going someplace and interacting with people, and sometimes playing games That's does true. Not help facilitate them that. Being social. As social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we found when they play video games, sometimes they get into this world of video games where you do something in the video game and it reacts just as it should, which is not like the real world. It's not the way humans react like a video right. game. So, yeah.
Yeah. Or you might do something that doesn't make sense to me. Like at one of our previous houses, mm-hmm. you would pull the car into the garage. Right, right now, at we can't angle. Pull a car into the garage. It's full of junk.
I pull
junk.
It in at a weird angle.
And I was like, why is he doing this? This mm-hmm. makes no sense. But I tried my best not to verbalize that out loud as I was trying to pull the car in at this weird angle and getting frustrated. I tried not to verbalize that in front of the kids.
Okay.
Because you normally do have a very good explanation for why you mm-hmm. do what I consider weird things.
And I did have a good explanation at the time, right?
Right. We just can't remember what it was.
I can't remember now. It sounds really goofy.
Why it might be in the book because I'm pretty uh-huh. sure I tell that story in the book.
Maybe so you could open up the door better or...
Yeah, I don't know. You had a good reason.
I did.
Because once I...
I no longer have a good explanation.
No, but you don't need it because we're living in a different house where we can't...
fit the car into the garage.
And the garage, yeah. So, all right. Well, as we've said, we're definitely not...
Experts
on parenting. Parenting is hard, you mm-hmm. know, and we enter these different phases and these different seasons, and kids continually change.
Never been parents of a 17-year-old before.
No.
There's always something new.
Although I will...
We can learn from others.
Right.
Experts and mentors, but, you know, it's always new and challenging.
I will say that parenting our 10-year-old daughter is easier this time around because it's the fourth time we've right. parented a mm-hmm. 10-year-old, although they all have slightly different personalities. So. Okay, vastly different personalities.
Dramatically. Yes.
But, you know, we're constantly looking to scripture and looking to biblically centered parenting experts
Absolutely.
To help us. But we've learned a few things, as we said, along the way. And mm-hmm. so those are some of the things that we've shared today.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that that is encouraging. So what did we talk about? We talked about three ways you can better parent as a team, mm-hmm. can try to see things from the other's perspective. Try to appreciate each other's approaches and learn from each other.
And try to support each other as best we can.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do we have an Us Time challenge this
we
time?
We certainly do. This time.
It is not related to television or movies. I know
on.
That that's what you want to say. Although I guess it
Rewatch would. Rewatch The Princess Bride.
No.
Just kidding.
Well, okay. As parents.
Yes.
We don't want to tear each other down with our words Mm-mm. or our actions in front of our kids, right? I mean, we don't want to do that privately either.
Yeah, just wait until they're in bed and then tear each other down.
That is not what I meant,
that's what
although
I heard.
That's what it sounded like.
What do you mean?
We want to speak words of life.
Of course. Of
not
course.
Only in front of our children about each other, but to each other as we're parenting. We want to build each other up and say, hey, I noticed that you did that today, and that was really cool. I appreciated how you did that with the kids, and I actually want to learn from that.
That makes me think of Chapman's book, Five Love Languages.
Yeah.
Was it the Love Cup or the Love Tank?
Tank. Your Love Tank. Tank. Yeah.
So, yeah, parenting can be draining.
Yeah.
You know, give all day long. So, yeah. It's a good thing is to build each other up, build their love tank.
Yeah. So that's the challenge is... Build up your spouses.
Specifically in terms of their
parenting. Yeah. And I mean, if you do need to offer some constructive criticism, make a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Communication sandwich.
But maybe. Whatever episode we talked about that in. But this challenge is specifically for seeing what they are doing right mm-hmm. and acknowledging it and encouraging your spouse in that.
That's very good. Let's do it.
Okay, good. Well, we hope this was encouraging and helpful to you. And remember, we're cheering on your Team Us.
The Team Us podcast is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed Ted and Ashley's conversation today, would you leave the show a rating and review in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find the show. This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, or art to make, or perhaps businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. If you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform today or lifeaudio.com.